Well, good morning, Mercy family. So great to see each and every one of you today and to be here in this service, to take place, to take a part in this community gathering. It is absolutely a highlight of my week, and hopefully it is to you as well. We're going to get started with the scripture for today, or with the sermon for today, as we continue our series, Never Too Late. First, before I do that, I want to thank each and every one of you for being a part of participating in planning the installation service on last week. It was absolutely phenomenal. It was great to see all of your faces and so many Vineyard faces from local churches, regional churches and leadership, and even national leadership. It was absolutely a blessing to me, and hopefully it was a blessing to each and every one of you who were here as well. So thank you so much for your participation in that. Now, we're continuing our series called Never Too Late. Let's get started with prayer, first of all. Holy God, we thank you for your word, for your truth, for the love you've shown us through your truth and through the life and person of Jesus Christ. We pray that you would meet us here, Holy Spirit, that you would guide my words, that you would guide this message, and that you would open our ears, that we would be able to hear what you're saying beyond the words on a page or words in a sermon. God, would you speak directly to us in our situation? It's in the name of Jesus that we ask you these blessings. Amen. Have you ever been tempted? Of course. I don't want to admit it. Have you ever been tempted to do something that was wrong? You knew it was wrong. You knew it was wrong. You knew it when you were going down that path. I saw you. I didn't see you. God saw you. He saw me too. Have you ever been tempted, right, to not do something? Like to not do something that was very important, or to step out in faith when you knew you were supposed to. I've experienced both of these temptations, right? Not to tell you too much detail about my life, but I remember when I was in middle school. Anybody remember their middle school days? A little too far back. Oh, a couple of us. All right. Middle school was an interesting time for me because I wasn't paying attention to school. I wasn't trying to pay attention to school. I remember the one day that we were supposed to take a test. Oh, gosh. And this test, I didn't want to take. So I remember waking up that morning, and I was tempted to lie to my mother and tell her that I was too sick to go to school that day. And I was tempted to not take a test that I knew was important for me to move forward in middle school, in grade school. And so what did I do that day? I fell into temptation. I fell into temptation. I told my mama, I can't go to school today. My stomach, oh, it's messed with. Oh, I got to go to the bathroom. Mama, I can't go to school. And she said, okay, baby, well, you just stay here and stay home. And I just said, yes. And so I was tempted to tell this lie to my mama, and I apologized to her when I did the online recording. First time, I'm sure she already knows what happened this many years out. But I also was tempted to not do the important thing and take this test that would have been helpful in my assessment, helpful in my progress, helpful in my academic pursuits. Have you ever been tempted to skip something very important, right? Maybe you felt tempted to skip that workout this morning. I don't know if you fell into that temptation or you actually got up and said, yes, I'm going to do it. Maybe you've been tempted to neglect that mental health appointment because of what someone has said that has really troubled you and made you feel a certain way. Or maybe you've been tempted to not reconcile with that person that you know you have beef with. That person who you know that you disagree with, and you've been tempted to just say, I'll just let that pass by or sweep it under the rug. Maybe you've been tempted to be silent in the face of injustice, or maybe you've seen something that has gone wrong and you turned your eye the other way, hoping that somebody else will deal with it. We're all tempted in one way or another. Every one of us has been tempted. Every human being that has lived on this earth has been tempted. Our original parents, Adam and Eve, have a great temptation story, right? They were tempted. Even our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted. So you're in good company. We all have been tempted in some way or another. I just want to let you know that temptation is not a sin. Just because you are tempted does not mean you are in sin, or that you're in wrong relationship with God, because every human being gets tempted. See, temptation is something that some people make you feel shameful about. We were talking in preaching team meeting, and one person brought up just like a shameful experience that someone had talked to them about, just about this area of temptation. Temptation should not carry with it the shame, but temptation is only a sin when you act on it illegitimately, when you act in a way that is against God, against his word, and against his will. But Jesus Christ, as I said, was tempted. As a matter of fact, when we talked in preaching team meeting, someone said that it is absolutely comforting to me to know that Jesus experienced the same temptations that I experience as well. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin." This is why I love Jesus, because he is our ultimate example. He's really shown us how we can live, how we should live, without falling into the sin that can be attached to temptation. Maybe you've heard of a story of Jesus when he was tempted at his weakest moment, when he was fasting for 40 days, 40 nights, and then the devil came and tempted him to act outside of the will of God. That's a great story. And we normally put the period right there and say that's where Jesus was tempted. But Jesus was tempted in many other ways. And I'd like to take a look at a story where Jesus was tempted to thwart the plan of God. Not Jesus. Jesus was tempted to go against this ultimate plan that God had for humanity. And I'd like to take a look at that. So if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn them on or open them up to Luke chapter 22. We'll read verses 39 through 46, and then we're going to go through verse by verse. So it says, "He went out and made his way as usual to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he told them, 'Pray that you may not fall into temptation.' Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and began to pray, 'Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' Then an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. Being in anguish, he prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he got up from prayer and came to the disciples, he found them sleeping, exhausted from their grief. 'Why are you sleeping?' he asked them. 'Get up and pray so that you won't fall into temptation.'" Line by line, let's look at verse number 39. He says, he, Jesus, went out and made his way as usual. This was a normal custom, a normal practice for Jesus and his disciples to go to the Mount of Olives, specifically the Garden of Gethsemane, so that they could go and pray together. The Mount of Olives is a significant location in Jesus' ministry. This is the place that starts the triumphal entry. This is the place where he prays with his disciples at this point, right after the Last Supper. This is a place that they regularly, as we see, pray. This is will also be the place of his ascension from earth into heaven. So this is a significant location. Verse 40 says, when he reached, Jesus reached the place, he told them, pray that you may not fall into temptation. What is prayer? Prayer is relational communication with God our Father. Prayer is when you take time to have a conversation with your Heavenly Father. Prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. Prayer is an opportunity for us to speak and let God know what's on our heart, to let him know what we need in our lives. But prayer is also a time to be silent and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying directly to us. So we need to take time to pray. Prayer is incredibly important. So he tells his disciples to pray, so that they won't fall into temptation. But notice that this prayer that Jesus invites them to pray is before they fall into temptation. It's before an action or event happens. So it's important for us to pray beforehand, before things actually get out of hand, out of whack. He's telling them to pray so that they won't fall. Pray that you won't fall into it when it comes. This is a prayer of preparation before the pressure comes that they are about to face. We know that Peter is going to be tempted to deny Jesus. And what does he do? He actually falls into that temptation and denies him. So prayer is important. We need to pray beforehand, before things actually happen, before we fall into it, because temptation is always in front of us. What is temptation? Temptation is a trial that is given for the purpose to make you stumble. You see, God gives trials, but James says that God does not give temptation. You see, God will give you a trial. He will give you something that you like, oh, this is hard for me, in order to build you up, to strengthen you. The only reason you go to the gym and you wear your muscles out by lifting weights is so that they can become bigger, so that you could become stronger. And God will send a trial in your life so that you can become strong, but the devil will send a twist to the plot. You see, just like he did with Eve, most of the time what he does is he will give you 95% truth and just twist the 5% on you. And so it becomes then a temptation that we have to attempt to overcome. I love the way James describes temptation in chapter 1, verse 14. He says, but each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desire. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. See, James uses this word enticed. Enticed, this word is also used describing what a fisherman does. A fisherman will disguise a hook with a nice, pretty little tasty worm. Not tasty to me. A fisherman will disguise the trap so that it looks good, so that it smells good, so that it's wonderful, looks wonderful to me, looks wonderful to you. But as soon as the fish grabs a hold of it, bye-bye for fishy. The fish only gains death. And so temptation is that same thing. He said, it is an enticement. It looks good on the outside. It looks attractive. It looks like I can gain from participating in this, but the devil's got a hook on the other side of that worm. And he's waiting for us to take a nibble. You see, when desires are acted upon illegitimately, that's when they give birth to sin. And from sin comes death. You see, death, physical death, doesn't happen immediately. This is how the devil, when he tempted Eve, how he got her attention. Because he told her, right, has God said you can't eat this fruit? And she was like, oh, God said this, that, and the other. Okay, we're having this conversation about scripture. But he said to her, you will not surely die. Right? Pretty accurate statement when you look into physical. But spiritually, they were disconnected from God immediately. And the same happens with you and I. When we fall into temptation, that spiritual connection that we have with our Father is disconnected. And so this is why confession is so important. No, we're not setting up confession booths. But what I would ask you to do is to find yourself a friend. Find yourself somebody who you trust, somebody who doesn't come to you with gossip. Because if they come to you with gossip, guess what they're doing with your business? See, you think that you are their safe place. No, you just a stop on the road to gossip destruction. Find yourself a friend that you trust and tell them what's going on in your life. Because confession is important for us to reconnect with God. It's not just about spilling your guts, telling all your business. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Who doesn't want that plan? But you got to take that first step and make the confession. See, we want the cleansing. We want the, oh, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. God's saying, have you confessed them yet? What you doing? What you doing? You want the benefit without the work. We all do. I'm in the boat. But this is the good news. Within the process of temptation lies a bit of evidence of the status of your spiritual growth. In every temptation, hopefully, if you are a Christian, there exists something called tension. Tension. I want to go here, my mind telling me to go here, but my body telling me to go there. My heart, my soul wants to be here, but I really have this desire and want to act on it and go there. There's some tension in every Christian's life. If you're not experiencing tension when you're faced with a temptation, check your thermostat of your Christianity. Check your relationship with God. Because there should be some tension in each one of our lives. See, we all have desires and ideas. The question is, what decision will you make with those desires and ideas? Tension comes in the life of the believer to show how much we are growing spiritually. Temptation. Prior to our relationship with Christ, our desires were our direction. I know mine was. I don't know if you want to tell the truth or not, but your desire, you just did what you wanted to do because you wanted to do it, or because your friends were doing it, because it was a cool thing to do, because this was my desire, and I really wanted to get involved in that and get into some trouble. I remember telling some friends before. I remember telling my mama once that I probably shouldn't have said. She told me to take my little brother with me because I was going out to hang with my friends. Take your little brother with you. I said, no, I'm trying to get into some trouble. We desire that trouble, but as we grow in our Christian life, there should be some tension, and we shouldn't automatically just say, there's some trouble. Let me go and get in it. Your depth of growth in Christ is not necessarily revealed in the knowledge that you have, but in the actions that you take. See, knowledge without action produces pride. And a lot of us, look, I'm in the same boat. I want to get as much knowledge as I can. I want to know all about Jesus and the Bible, and I want to know history, and I want to know all of this stuff and fill my head with all of this information. But if I don't do anything with that information, I'm like a sponge filled up with water. Eventually, I'm going to start stinking. I got to be squeezed out every now and then. I got to start doing something with what I have on the inside. I got to start making right decisions and taking right actions. Jesus gives his followers here a warning that temptation is coming. It's around the corner. And in order to avoid it, he wants us to pray in advance. Here's my question. How's your prayer life? How's your advanced prayer life? Are you talking to God about just what you're in right now? Oh, God, get me out of this. I'm in this too deep, God. Or are you praying for what's going to happen in the future? God, I know that challenge is coming. Will you give me the strength? Will you guide me, Holy Spirit, when it comes? Now, he said pray ahead of time, but what happens when I'm in it right now? Gary, you're giving me this future look, but right now I'm in it, waist high. He says, he gives us a great example in Matthew chapter 4 when he's tempted by the devil, when he's right there in the midst of it. What he does, he gives us this example that he quotes scripture. You see, it's important for us to know some scripture. That's where that knowledge really comes in, so that you can use it, because the only thing that's going to defeat your enemy is the word of God. Psalm chapter 119, verse 11 says, I hide the word in my heart so I don't sin against God. It's important to do the practice of memorizing some scriptures, reading the actual Bible, so that you can have this scripture on the inside of your soul so that you can be ready. You have the weapons that you need in order to engage in this spiritual battle that we're all in. Verse number 41 says, then he, Jesus, withdrew from them, his disciples, about a stone's throw, knelt down and began to pray. See, he withdrew. He stepped away. He got away to pray solo, to pray alone. Where do you go to pray alone? Where do you get away? Or do you get away? Do you have a secret prayer closet? Do you have a space where you can get away from the confusion and all the craziness of life, and you could just get into the presence of God without the kids knocking on the door or in the bathroom? That's what I do. I try to go in the bathroom. Dad, what you doing in there? None of your business what I'm doing in there. I have a minute. You got to find a space where you can get in touch with God. He goes in, he prays, and he gives us this great example. He leads by example. He does what he just told the disciples to do. He told the disciples to pray before the temptation comes. He says right here, Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. The thing that he is tempted with is his desire to avoid suffering. Jesus has desires too, you know. He's 100% God, but he's also 100% man. And he is tempted with, oh my gosh, I realize, yeah, I raise my hand and say, God, Father, I'll go down there and live this life and be the sacrifice. But now he's in his humanity. He's like, whoa, this is intense. God, if there's any other way, Father, can you do that? Or just let me pass on by. You know, we can create another earth with another humanity. We can do something else, God. That's not in the scriptures. That's Gary Darkin's version, please. Like he's blaspheming. But he says this amazing prayer. He was strong enough to pray this portion of the prayer. He said, not my will, but yours be done. That is an incredibly mature prayer right there. Can you pray that? Like, not just in words, but can you pray that from your heart? That, yes, I'm going to give you my laundry list of things that I'm looking for, God. All this stuff I want in my life, here it is. My Christmas list, God. Can I have this? Can you do this for me? All this kind of stuff. Yes, God, I would love to have this, but not my will, yours. Not my way of thinking, yours. Not my desires, but yours be done. Because God might have another plan, and he might have greater things on the other side of the curtain for you, but you just don't know. Are you willing to take the steps to get there? Jesus acknowledges that God the Father is in charge, but he says this part of the prayer, take this cup. This cup of suffering is too much for any human to handle. Jesus is tempted to reject the cup. But that rejection would have been harmful to all humanity. And so God did not allow it. Sometimes we pray to God and we say, God, I want this, I want that, I want the other. And God says no. Because there's something greater in his no that we just may not be able to see yet. Jesus asked for God to take away this cup. In his temptation, he prays to overcome this temptation. But here's my question for you as I walk away from you today is this. What's in your cup? What is your cup? What are you being tempted with today? What are you faced with right now that's causing you some tension? I want you to know that your cup is connected to your call. Your cup is connected to your call. The purpose for you being, you're not just going through this trial, this challenge, this temptation, whatever it is, for no reason. It's like weights God is allowing you to lift so that you can become stronger. But your cup is not just for you. Yes, your cup may allow you to experience some challenges, some hardship. But God wants you to overcome that. So then you can use that story to bless and inspire someone else. Your cup is never just for you. Don't think God is picking on you. Don't think, oh, things are going on. I got to deconstruct now. Right? Because deconstruction is a good thing. I got closer to God through my deconstruction. But don't go blaming God for all the problems in the world. It's important for us to connect with God in prayer. And it's important for us to connect with him in prayer before we ever get there to that place of temptation, that place of trial, that place of challenge, that place that we don't want to come back from. So, what I would like to ask each one of us to do this week, would you take a next step when you face, before you face any other temptations or trials that come your way? Would you take some time every day this week and pray? Find your prayer closet. Find your secret place. Find a place where you can step away and pray to God and ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen you for what's on the way. Strengthen you for what's on the way. Because there's always something on the way. There's always something else in our lives that we have to deal with. The question is, will you be prepared? So, Father, thank you. It's hard to say thank you for challenges and trials and tribulations and things that we face. But God, we thank you because you have a greater good ahead. We trust you. And we put our lives in your hands. Would you please meet us where we are? Would you please prepare us for what you have in our futures? Would you please prepare us for the challenge that we're going to have to face? And meet us in our prayer time this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Worship team, would you come on up?